What's up, everybody? I'm Mo.
It's your boy, Gabza, here.
And this is the Gardlo Cover Podcast.
Yes, sir.
Music. And, you know, today, it's the same day because we're wearing the same clothes on the other video as well. We're doing the same thing here. Yeah. We're going to be doing a deep dive review on Mr. K Dot, hashtag Mr. Kung Fu Kenny himself, Kendrick Lamar. We're going to be basically ranking his studio albums. The all of them. How many? Six? Five of them. Five. All five of his studio albums. And just basically just looking at back at what he's given us over the past 10 or so years. So
yeah, we'll start with his debut album. Again, it's the debut album as the least ranked album.
I think, you know what, Ned? I think this is it. It's not an alarming thing. I would say if you have a studio album being at the bottom of your list, I'd say it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because it's not like Section 8 is a bad album.
It's not.
There are some of his best lyrical work on this album, I'd say. Definitely. I'd say, as I've said before, it just means that he elevated his sound. He got better. Yeah. He got better, which means he grew as an artist, which is a good thing. So I'd say it's an alarming thing if your debut album is only going to, like, you've released five albums and your best album is only good. Like, I don't know, that's my opinion anyways.
Nah, I get you. Mm. Your debut album can't be in your top three and you've released more than five albums.
I feel like, you know, it's a testament to say that, you know, they've grown,
they're getting higher every single time,
and they keep on setting the bar higher every single time.
Yeah.
So yeah, our number five, Section 80. I'd say there are some bangers here. ADHD, yeah,
another one. High Power, I mean, this was just, it was Rough Kendrick, you know.
Rough Kendrick.
K-Dot. This was rough in the sense of, this was him in Compton, you know, after getting a salute from the legends of Compton, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, The Game, you know, telling them that we're passing on the torch to you. You're the one that's gonna advance West Coast hip hop further.
I think that's a good analogy. I'd say that sounds really good. I'd say,
and he got off to a great start.
He got off to a very great start. I'd say, you know, as I've said before, there are some of his best, like, lyrical work on this album. Definitely, 100%. I'd say most people would say that they discovered Kendrick. Obviously, it was his debut album, but then there are a lot of songs that people look back to and say that, damn, I don't think I've ever heard him, you know, sound as good as he did here. Because some might say he was at his most, as you said, he was Rough Kendrick. He was probably at his most raw.
Yeah.
You know, he was just writing bar for bar, doing what he does best, basically writing pen to paper, doing what he does best, just writing the hell out of everything that he can. And I'd say Section 80 is...
That's the case with your first major label release, well, you have to impress, you know.
True.
So...
And so I'd say it's not as polished, maybe production and all that. It's not as polished as his albums to come, but that makes sense because, you know, it's his debut album. He was still starting out. And I'd say he started off on a great note, nonetheless.
And at the first part, we had a big debate about
we had a very big debate
about this album about fourth place.
Putting this at fourth place. We put Damn at fourth place, 2017. And a lot of people are going to be like, you know, and that's fair. I'd say, you know, when you look at this album, you think, what are you talking about? You want a Pulitzer Award? And I mean, you know, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
That's a big deal.
The only rapper
to ever win a Pulitzer Award. Yeah. And I mean, he 100% deserved it. I think his writing on this album, I'd say, when you look at Duckworth, the storytelling of Duckworth, one of my favorite Kendrick Lamar songs ever. I'd say, you know, what pin would you put on? I'd say there's a lot going on in this album. I'd say
there's a lot going on, and I feel like, you know my opinion about this album, bro.
Please let the people know your opinion on this album.
My opinion on this album is that sonically, I don't think Kendrick was into that on this.
Ooh.
He just wanted to write, bro.
Mm.
And he dropped fire bars, bro. Like we said, we mentioned Duckworth, the story that punch the owner of TDE. And his dad had an altercation. And if things went other ways,
you know, he
wouldn't have had a dad at this moment of his life. Moment. Yeah. And that was cool, bro. The way he took it
and the fact that, you know, like when you listen to Duckworth and you listen to all of that and then it kind of does that whole reverb of I thought that was very cool.
That drive to KFC, you see everything, cuz he's describing his father was at that moment. The drive by, you know, we know Compton, you know, it's one of the
I'd say moving away from Duckworth, just like to other songs as well, I'd say songs like DNA, I'd say, wow, DNA, he went very hard on DNA.
He's telling us about himself.
Basically telling him about who he is, basically. Yeah. And, yo, man, DNA, he went hard. Songs like Element, I'd say songs like Element are also like up there. One of the highlights of 2017, I'd say. Loyalty, collaboration of that year, I'd say. I think that was the best collaboration of that year. Or you could put it up there as one of the best collaborations, I'd say. And, you know,
Humble,
that was a smash hit. Yeah. I think that was
number one, solo number one.
Really? Oh yeah, 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 true. I'd say that's when you remember this album, you remember that, okay, Kendrick was, you know, I wouldn't say, I mean, he was commercial at that point. I would say he was because
Good Kid, Mad City debuted at number two, To Pimp a Butterfly at number one. It had his biggest song, All Right, and 2017 was right after To Pimp a Butterfly. Mm,
okay.
So yeah, he was a big star at that moment.
At that point, yeah, I'd say. Oh, alright, so I'd say
the hype around this album.
True, it was crazy. I think I'd say that the numbers of this album, I think they were his best at that point. I'd say
600K first week.
Yeah. Wow. Jeez. Yeah. I think he, you could say that this was when he was reaching, I wouldn't say his prime. But he was around that time where he was
the
mainstay. He was in his prime. He was in his prime. He was at that point where he realized that I'm at my mainstay. I can, you know, put out different sounds. I can try different things. And, you know, and he really did that, I'd say. Even songs, experimental songs like Love, I'd say. A very beautiful love song that I enjoyed myself. It was a very, very good project. And even the different kinds of songs like Triple X. When I saw the Triple X, I was like, what's going on in this song? What's happening on this one?
I feel like that's all we're gonna talk about.
Okay.
Is his writing. And, you know, people are gonna say, what, you guys are putting Damn at fourth place, but you will realize that the next album that's at the third spot, it has more to it.
Yeah.
Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers.
Number three, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers.
Yeah.
The most recent project that he released two months ago.
May 13th.
And I'd say, wow. I'd say what helped this album as well, the fact that it had been, what, 5 years?
Since
he had dropped an album. And I'd say, you know,
not counting the Black Panther album.
Like in terms of him as an artist releasing a project on his own, like the hype was real, especially for this album. I'd say he really, because he didn't do that much promo work, but he didn't need to. I'd say, besides a few taxis in Ghana, like he didn't really do that much.
Not that much.
He didn't really do that much advertising, but he didn't need to. I think the hype was there, and you can really tell that he. It was a very different album in the sense that he was talking about a lot of very personal. I think he was at his most vulnerable.
True.
In this album, I'd say he really tore the curtain down, because Kendrick, he can, like, there are songs where he does talk about his personal life, about his childhood, but here he really just lets the curtain down completely and lets it all out for everyone to see. And I'd say it was beautiful in the sense that he just let it all out, and he did it in a very concise way, in a very distinct way.
Even the cover just shows that it matches the song Savior, where he's telling us that, you know, I'm removing myself from that battle, I'm removing myself from the pedestal, I'm removing myself from being the savior of hip-hop, the way Snoop, Dr. Dre have put me on that pedestal. Like, you are the one carrying the torch now. The album cover just shows a simple man who hasn't changed his shirt in 5 years, bro.
He has not. The same white shirt. Wow, Kendrick, come on, dude.
With his kids.
Hey, bro, family. When I saw the album cover, I'm like, whoa, this guy is too, like, whoa. I was pleasantly surprised at the fact that he was being that person. I'd say that Kendrick is a very private person. I'd say true. you only know the things that we know. He only knows what he wants you to see. And I'd say, I love the fact that he let us into his world and he let it all out for everyone to know. And I'd say,
real guys don't need therapy. I mean, Father Time was, for me, the best song on the album, Father Time, where he's talking about issues that he faced in his childhood with his father being reluctant to talk about emotions, you know, to take a deep dive into human feelings, basically. And this is something that I relate to, you know, something that I see in black culture.
Where
people don't see it. It's a white construct.
To talk about feelings, to be open about feelings and things like therapy and all that. People don't usually talk about that. Those kind of things. So, I'd say, man, this really was when it came out. There was a bit of mixed reviews, mixed reception, and also even commercially, it didn't do that well. But I don't think he was bothered about that. I think he just wanted to put out an album from the heart, and he just wanted to let it all out. He wanted to let it be bare bones, just right there.
Because he did mention that he got writer's block for 5 years, for a few years during his hiatus, where he couldn't put pen to paper, you know, and get into his Kung Fu King zone.
I think, and that's a testament to the fact that, you know, if he feels like he's not at his best, he won't release music.
He won't
be forced to release music unless he feels like it's gonna be. And I think that's why he is where he is, and the fact that he has not missed out of all of these albums. He has not missed before.
True.
So
I love the harmonic choir vibes in the intro, just taking you into this album. Like, tell them.
True.
Bro, it was a cinematic experience, this album. To all the people that are saying, damn, should have been this. When you go back into this album, it's something totally different from what Kendrick has ever done before. And Mina, I appreciate him being versatile. This is something that we didn't really get in his previous albums. Not versatile, not in the sense of lyricism, not in the sense of sonically, but him dabbling into other sections of hip hop. He had a trap song, N95, a slapper. It's a banger. And he added trap artist,
I think you could
Kodak Black.
You could say that he was a bit versatile on to Pimp a Butterfly. I'd say that there are a lot of jazz, but I do understand what you're saying. I do understand that he doesn't do it a lot.
Yeah, he doesn't do it a lot, because we know Kendrick bars, you know. And now on this one, he gave us beautiful songs like Die Hard, which is a nice vibey song. Blast and Amanda Rifer actually did great on this song, and we cried together with Taylor Page.
Yeah,
intense.
Yeah, I know. Don't listen to that song with your parents. And we cried together. I mean, obviously, I'm just like, listen. I think we cried together. Like most people, they didn't know what they were listening to. They didn't know what they were listening to. And
we didn't expect this.
No, we didn't. We didn't.
We did not expect this, and I love the outro on this too. On Mira.
Yeah, Mira's, yeah.
He chose himself. He's sorry that he chose putting himself first, you know. And I think this just shows us that we won't interact with Kendrick much from here.
That's kind of sad.
In the music sense.
It's kind of sad, but
we won't get those control verses. We won't get those type of things. Now it's just a normal family man.
And yeah, because I mean, he's been through a lot. He's really been through a lot. So yeah,
and yeah, those are the that's why we put this album at third place. And number one and number two is a very it was a very tough decision for us to make, and we've reached the decision that Good Kid, Mad City is second best, but it could be number one.
It could very well be number one. I'd say Good Kid, Mad City was one of those albums where you're just like, yeah, I know.
He's arrived.
This kid has arrived. This kid is here. He has arrived. No question. I think it was released a year after Section 80.
Yeah.
So he didn't give anyone any breathing room. He just said, you know what? I dropped a project last year, but this year I'm going ham. I'm going crazy. And you know, you could say that this was what really put him, I mean, you know, it really put him up there. It made people just notice that, okay, K-Dot, this guy, he's serious. He's something special.
Yeah.
And I mean, the classics on this album, I mean,
Don't Kill My Vibe.
Don't Kill My Vibe. Backseat Freestyle.
Oh, bro. Money Trees.
Money Trees.
The best feature. One of the best features of the last decade. J-Rock on Money Trees.
Yeah, bro. True.
I mean, even the sample on it. And you got the last Drizzy and K-Dot song.
When They're Still Friends. Oh, damn. When There's Still Poetic Justice, you know.
Amazing song.
Yeah.
Amazing song.
And I mean, if you want like a full-on slap banger. Mad City. Yo.
And you know, I remember I was watching his conversation on GQ with Rick Rubin.
Mm.
He said, when I put out this album, you know, it was my second album on a major label.
Mm.
And what I wanted to do is I wanted to connect because my peers around me, the artists around me, they were doing big, you know, they were doing big. And I wanted to arrive. I was at that moment where I couldn't drop things, songs that were solely mine. You know, I had to drop Ear Candy songs. He said he put out Good Kid, Don't Kill My Vibe. And what's the song? Swimming Pools Drank.
Swimming Pools,
those
yeah,
are the
yeah,
songs
yeah.
that he was expecting to be Ear Candy, to be the songs that elevate this album in a commercial sense. And he got surprised by it. The reception that Mad City received.
Yeah, no, Mad City is that song is crazy, bro.
Amazing song.
That's a crazy song.
Amazing song.
That's a crazy song.
I remember when we were watching the Super Bowl performance and his opener was Mad City.
You know, and you're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like I think it's a testament to that, you know, there are lots of hidden gems in this album that you could say are probably his best song, like definitely one, no question.
And Compton with Dr. Dre, that was just the Compton and the Recipe with Dr. Dre, that was just the victory lap from Kendrick that, yeah, I'm here now, I'm with the big bosses now.
Definitely. And my favorite song on this project, Sing About Me, I'm Dying of This. It's a 12-minute song, but you are invested the whole way through. I would say this was one of those songs where you can just be like, most people when they drop a 12-minute song, you're just like, what are you doing? What is this? What are you trying to do here? But I think the way he wrote it, and the way that he laid it out, I think the story of the album in itself, you know, what's the name of the girl that he wants to get with? There's the girl that from that.
Bro, the way this song has a lot of content in it, the girl I even got. Forgot about the girl.
There's that girl that he wants to smash or something. I forgot.
He touched on a lot of topics. He touched on peer pressure, him being in that car with his friends, you know, about to do that drive by, talking about the influences, the different positive and negative influences that he encountered in Compton. And it was, like you mentioned, it was 12 minutes, but you were invested in the story. You were invested in what Kendrick was trying to tell you. And he did do another peer pressure, where he focuses on peer pressure, on the art of peer pressure. That's another song that he delves into topics that rappers these days don't usually do.
Yeah, true. I'd say this is one of those albums that you will always remember very fondly. And you know, should have won the Grammy. We all know it, but you know, it is what it is. Should have won the Grammy, but we say it's his second best album, and it is as good. It could even be number one.
Yeah, man. I just like to mention Swimming Pools Drank. It's a bop. We all know that song, but
that was just him trying to do the commercial scene. I'd say
it's not just that.
Bro. No, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
But listen, when you take a deep dive into this song. I'll just quote the first lyric. Now I done grew up around some people living their life in bottles. That just tells you what Kendrick is about to talk about on the song.
Alcoholism,
you know. The peer pressure, I think peer pressure was a constant theme in this one. Where like, why are you babysitting only two or three shots? I'm gonna show you how to turn it up a notch. This is something that we...
Whoa, dude, calm down. Whoa.
Yeah.
Ooh.
This is something that we see, like, when peer pressure, it's a tactic that they use, you know, when you're with a bunch of friends at a place, then we're like, why are you babysitting only two or three shots?
Yeah,
let me show you how to turn it up a notch, you know?
True.
I love the way he used that topic to make a bop song.
And you know, the fact that it is a bop song, I think it's one of his more well-known bop songs.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, I think that's what Kendrick Lamar is. He's the type of artist that you can listen to his song the one time and you can say, damn, wow, that was a club banger. It can be a club banger, but it's so layered to such an extent where literally you broke it down to like three or four different topics. I'd say that's just the type of art. I think that's just a testament to the kind of artist that he is.
Yeah.
The fact that he can drop a banger and it still can be that layered in so many different details.
True.
And I'd say that album in itself is
classic.
Classic.
Fun fact, the longest charting hip-hop album of all time, more than 500 weeks on the Billboard 200. A decade as the top 200 albums in the US, basically the world.
Wow.
And it's still there for a decade.
That's crazy.
This album certainly put him in hip hop royalty. West Coast hip hop royalty.
Definitely.
Yeah. And at number one.
Number one.
The masterpiece, the magnum opus.
The magnum opus. This one, we didn't have much of an argument with
unanimous
this one.
Unanimous decision.
It was a unanimous decision. To Pimp a Butterfly, I'd say this is his best body of work. I'd say this, he really. Oh man, this album. Is what
these words talk, bro.
I'd say, you know, like, obviously everyone could have like those songs. I think this album is one of those albums where you can just say it's unskippable, and it deserves its unskippability. I don't know if that's a word. I'm making that a word. If it's not a word, it's unskippability. Like, it deserves it, because what he did here, he really just decided, I'm just gonna write. And I'm just gonna like not care about anything. I'm just gonna do what I'm gonna write, what I wanna write about, and I'm just gonna put it out there. And people, they ate it up. I think most people would say that this is their favorite Kendrick Lamar album.
True.
And some might say that most people might find their favorite Kendrick Lamar songs on this album.
Yeah. And again, I'm touching on Rick Rubin's conversation with Kendrick on GQ.
Mm.
He asked him, like, what influenced you to make this album, because it's very different from Good Kid, Mad City.
Definitely. Big time.
Yeah.
Big
and
time.
He said, you know, I was sitting with my producer, Taylor, and he told me, like, yo, Dot, the things that you do, have you noticed that you're a jazz artist? You're a jazz artist. Then I was like, nah, man, show me more. He pulled out his previous songs and albums. He's like, the chords that you're picking, the soundscape that you lean onto the most is more of 90s hip hop, Biggie, Park type of vibe songs, and you pick Prince chords, you pick Prince sexes, you know, you're more into that jazz soundscape. Then it's like, oh, is that so? Let's make a jazz influenced album.
And
what they did on To Pimp a Butterfly was perfect.
And I mean, jump and for the fact that Good Kid, Mad City was such a successful project.
True.
It's a risk to just decide to switch up your sound like that. That's a huge risk, because you don't know how people are going to receive that. And the fact that they received it this well, I think you have to commend him for the way that he was able to put it out. Because, you know, you can decide to do a different type of genre, like a completely different type of genre, and it won't work. And I think the fact that he basically did an album that was heavily influenced in jazz sounds, and he executed it so well, so well. I'd say, as you said, these walls, man.
Yeah.
Oh, bro.
These walls, King Kunta. How can you even forget
King? Oh man.
All right, probably his best song.
I'd say his best, probably his best song.
Probably his best song.
Yeah.
Good Politics, Complexion, the Black of the Berry, Mortal Man, but my personal favorite, How much a dollar cost?
How much the dollar cost?
How much a dollar cost? James Fauntleroy on that hook. He had two hooks on this.
Yeah.
And after each one, it just elevates, you know. He's staring at me. He's staring at me. The stare is contagious. You know, just for people who haven't listened to this song, you will notice this song every time you walk in the big city. Mm. You know, anywhere that's a town or city. I feel like you can experience this everywhere in your life.
Mm.
Where he did, I will quote a line from the song. He's like, I never understand someone begging for goods, asking for handouts, taking it if they could. I saw that when I was in Johannesburg, bro, when every time I stepped out, everyone is just coming, the street kids are just coming at me, you know, asking for goods, you know. That touched me, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if for anyone who has a very kind heart, and just anyone, like, obviously you'll feel for these people, yeah. And I mean, you know, songs like that make you just like to just like say, damn, like, wow. Because I mean, you had listened. I'm pretty sure you had listened to the song many times beforehand, but you never really got it. But I think like,
nah, I needed that experience to see what Kendrick was putting out on this, and that's what I've noticed with most of his songs on his discography.
Mm.
You know, just something, you know, music should trigger an emotion.
True.
And that's something that Kendrick does quite well.
Very well.
Whether it's,
I'd say very, very well.
Makes you happy, makes you sad, makes you think, makes you conscious. He does that quite well.
True.
And bro, the storytelling on this, and you know when you meet, when you say no, obviously.
Yeah.
Because no, you're going to buy drugs again. That's what you're going to do. And he did say that. The hobo told him, bro, temptation is something I've already defeated. I'm done. I'm not gonna go back to that. I'm just asking for 10 rand. And now he's doubting himself. He's like, am I really making the right decision? And fun fact, this album was mostly influenced when he was back in SA.
South Africa, yeah.
Yeah, in South Africa.
Yeah.
This song is a moment where it was probably at Caltex, because that's where the hobos hang out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at the end, the hobo is now Jesus now, telling him that you nishing me this dollar, you not giving me this dollar has cost you a place in heaven. That's to show that how much does this dollar cost? This is going to cost you your kindness. This is going to cost you being a human being, because as a human, you should give.
Jeez.
You know.
Jeez, bro, you just...
Bro.
Yo, you just took me... Like, you know what, man? I've listened to this album a bajillion times, but the way that you describe it right now...
I had a different experience to it.
Imagine.
Bro. I had a different experience to it, bro.
And as I said, just going back, that's just a testament to the kind of artist that Kendrick Lamar is. The fact that you can literally listen to a song a bajillion times, but you can still get a different kind of perspective from it. I'd say, as you said, he invokes a lot of emotion. Yeah. And I'd say this album did that in an abundance, I'd say. In an abundance. I'd say that there are different types of songs, different vibes, different types, just in a lot of ways, but you can still feel something. Yeah. You can really feel something genuinely so, I'd say.
All Right Man was the anthem of the uprising in back in the US.
True. When
police violence, which is something that is still happening.
It's still
right
very relevant
now.
Even now, yeah.
He just put it out there, you know, just stay strong, you know, stay strong. We are going to be all right.
Yeah.
Even through the pandemic, you know, the song just came back. This is a song that you went back just telling us that, nah, man, we're going to be all right.
Whatever happens, you're going to be all right. You know?
Yeah.
Like, perfect, you know, album. Like, it really is a perfect album. He really, like, and you know, this, he doesn't even need to top himself. I feel like he can just, like, leave it there and just be like, I did my thing there and I'm okay with it. I'm happy. You know, like, geez, I think you can just look at his discography as a whole. Like, you can say that, man, he's just been hitting W after W.
Yeah, and with this one, I would give this one a Pulitzer.
Really?
Yeah, rather than damn. That's just my opinion.
I'm gonna leave it on a hot note, on a hot one. Yeah. And but yeah, that was our list of the our K-Dot studio album ranking, please let us know if we got it right or if we didn't, and you know, we completely messed it up. Please let us know what you think. But this was our thoughts on this topic regarding Kendrick Lamar's albums.
And yeah, just to recap, at the fifth spot we got Section 80.
Yep.
Number 4 we got Damn. Number 3, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. Number 2, Good Kid, Mad City. Number 1, To Pimp a Butterfly. And yeah, because we got it all covered, we got a sports channel where we talk about everything sports. Football, basketball, NBA, tennis, motorsport. We got it all covered on that channel. If you are a sports fan, you can go check that out. Leave a like, leave a comment, hit the subscribe button,
subscribe.
Notification bell on. We are on all platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and also on YouTube, of course. And yeah, from the GISC family, we got it
all covered.
Yes, sir.